And welcome back to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from the American Red Cross of Eastern Pennsylvania, we have its Regional Communications Director, David Skutnik, and Sophie Cluthy. She is the Regional Communications Manager. Welcome back, you two.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, one, we're getting close to the end of the year, so we want to encourage people to think kindly of you as the end of the year comes around, but also New Year's resolutions. And one of mine was one, give more blood, and two, maybe get my household into shape safety-wise. And so I thought today, let's have a conversation about keeping a family safe in an area just waiting to be a disaster.
Yeah, you know, it's winter, the weather's cold, it's lousy. It is a good time to get those indoor projects done. And whether it's cleaning out a closet or, you know, working on that disaster preparedness kit. One of the things we talk about a lot at the Red Cross is having that disaster preparedness kit, being prepared for any kind of emergency. You never know what can happen, whether it's checking that smoke alarm to be sure your household is safe and can get out in the event of a home fire in 2 minutes or less, or having that disaster preparedness kit stocked with at least a gallon of water per person per day, non-perishable meals, things that you can eat maybe right out of a can or a box where you don't need power to heat them up. There's a bunch of different things you can get in a disaster kit, and you can actually find a complete list at our website, redcross.org/EasternPA. There's a whole slew of things. You could have a disaster kit that's like half your basement, or you can just have the real basic essentials and something small that can be quick and easy to grab in the event that you have to evacuate your family.
Well, we got 28 minutes to expand on all of that.
We sure do.
So, and we're not talking about nuclear disaster where we're going to have the you know, a bunker in the basement with sea rations or any of that stuff, but you see a lot of disasters. Families have to roll sometimes or stay in place because you just don't know what's going to happen.
You never know. It could be something like a winter storm, or some people in this area may remember just after Halloween we had tornadoes in Delaware County. So whether it's something that's unplanned that you may not know about, that you have to leave your house in a hurry, or something like a snowstorm where you may have to shelter in place for a day or two, it's great to have that disaster preparedness kit. Actually, the first step in three really easy to remember steps that we promote: build a kit, make a plan, and be informed. And having that kit, knowing where to go for the news and weather updates, and just having a plan about how your family can escape your home safely and quickly, those three steps can help you, whether it's winter or anytime there's a summer emergency as well. And remember, home fires can happen any time of the year.
And you see a lot of them.
Yeah, we do. Every 8 minutes, the American Red Cross is assisting someone affected by a disaster. And most of those are home fires. And we do see an uptick of those in the winter months when it's colder. People are trying to heat their homes. People are doing a lot of holiday cooking. You may be stringing lights, decorations. So this is a time of year that we ask people to be extra cautious.
Let's continue on this, the idea of fires right now, because people are still decorating and they are cooking. I'm going to admit, I have scorched a wall or two in my time.
It's easy. It can happen to anybody. It can happen at any point. You know, sometimes you carelessly throw a dish towel down as you're trying to wash some dishes to make some room in the sink at the same time you've got something frying or baking in the oven. You know, just I just kind of toss it aside, and all of a sudden it's a little too close to that burner, and up goes the dish towel in the kitchen. So, yeah, you just have to be real careful. One of the phrases we like to use is keep an eye on what you fry. If you've got something on the stove, don't leave the kitchen. Don't walk away, especially if you have kids and pets. Something can get knocked over very quickly if you just stepped out to run to the living room run to the laundry room maybe to check the washer or the dryer, and you've got something on the stove. Don't ever leave that unattended. Something really bad could happen really quickly, and keep the stuff off the stove. You know, it should be pots and frying pans only. Keep the dish towels away from the stove, and keep the kids and the pets away from that stove when it's on as well.
It was French fries that got my wall.
And you know, unattended food that's cooking on the stove is the number one cause of kitchen fires, which we see a lot of in this area. So one tip that I really like, because it's so easy when you're making a holiday meal or you're making something for yourself, keep a lid to that pot or pan nearby, or a cookie sheet. So if you do happen to have a fire in the pan, you can put that lid or the cookie sheet on top of the pan. wait until it cools. It'll extinguish the fire and it'll keep it contained.
Cut off its oxygen.
Exactly. And then a couple of other useful tips. We might not think about it, but, you know, just the clothing that you're wearing, maybe if you're going to wait to change into your Christmas clothes, wear something that's tighter fitting so that you don't have sleeves that are dangling, and move the handles of the pots and pans. Turn them in so they don't get bumped, especially if you're around the holidays and you have a lot of people in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. What about a fire extinguisher in the kitchen?
Always a great idea. Always should be right under the sink. Always keep it in that same place. Make sure it's there so you know exactly where it is and you can grab it very quickly. Remember, you don't want to throw water on grease fires. That actually helps fuel the grease fire. You want to put the lid on it, as Sophie mentioned, but have that fire extinguisher just in case Laura's cooking those French fries again and that wall goes up. We're going to want to have that fire extinguisher handy in the kitchen. Always make sure it's ready to go.
And what kind of a fire extinguisher? Are there any recommendations for that?
No, it's small is good enough in the kitchen. You know, you can just go to your local home improvement store and find a kitchen size fire extinguisher. And, you know, while you're there, might want to pick up an extra smoke alarm or two as well. Smoke alarms are a great idea to have and to test yearly. And also you can pick up a carbon monoxide detector. Remember, a smoke detector in your house is different than a carbon monoxide detector. They detect two different things. Carbon monoxide is a colorless, odorless gas that can be given off by things like a furnace. If you have a furnace malfunction, if you have an oil or wood burning or even a natural gas fired furnace, you want to have that carbon monoxide detector in your home in addition to that smoke alarm.
Where do you want these placed?
So smoke alarms should be at least one on every floor of your house. We don't want to put them in the kitchen because what we tend to see a lot of times is if it does give off a false alarm because of some cooking that's going on, people tend to either then unplug it or pull the battery out and then never replace it. So we recommend not putting them in the kitchen, but definitely out in the living room, maybe nearby in the dining room, hallways as well. And then when you get up to the sleeping level, if you have a multi-story home and you're upstairs, you want to make sure there's at least one in the hallway, but we prefer to have one in every single bedroom, every single sleeping area as well.
What about the carbon monoxide detectors?
Those as well, in addition, should be one on every floor. Those, though, don't go up on the ceiling like smoke alarms do. Oh. Carbon monoxide detectors actually are better off just a few feet from the floor because carbon monoxide actually settles closer to the floor, whereas a smoke alarm will detect actually rises. So two different processes in play there. So the alarms actually do go in two different locations.
I've seen combos out there, though.
They can, and they work, and they do. They do work, and it's a combination alarm is certainly better than no alarm at all. So that's definitely a good thing to have. But yeah, I know in my house, I actually have two separate, a smoke alarms on the ceiling, and then the carbon monoxide detectors are a couple feet off the ground, actually on the wall.
And you've done some work on making sure that neighborhoods and people have this equipment.
Yeah, in the city of Philadelphia, we've partnered with the Philadelphia Fire Department since at least 2014. It actually even may have started a little bit before that. And we've installed tens of thousands of free smoke alarms, not only in Philadelphia, but throughout the Delaware Valley as part of our nationwide home fire campaign. Nationwide, the American Red Cross has installed just shy of 2 million free smoke alarms over the last 5+ years. So it's a tremendously successful program that got its roots actually started right here in the Delaware Valley. And it's a program that will continue here through the winter. If you live in the city of Philadelphia, to get a free smoke alarm, you can call the fire department at 311. You can also reach out directly to the Red Cross through our website at redcross.org/EasternPennsylvania, or Eastern PA, excuse me. And someone will come out to your house and install a free smoke alarm.
And these aren't just something that's nice to have. These save lives. Nationwide documented, the smoke alarms that the Red Cross has installed has saved more than 600 lives and counting. So this is something that everybody really needs to have inside their home. And while we're talking about getting them installed, testing them, it's important to at the same time have a conversation, especially if you have a family, with your children, just so that they know, you know, if a fire does happen, experts estimate that you have as little as 2 minutes to get out of your house. And you want to have a plan. You want to tell your kids what to do, where to meet, maybe a stop sign right outside of your home. Have a meeting place that everybody goes to that's the same place. That way, if there is a disaster or when that disaster may happen, it actually will help your children to deal with what's happening instead of, you know, having it be a chaotic situation. Everybody can meet in the same place and know that they're all safe in that same place.
What about kids of different ages? I mean, a baby, you know you're going to have to grab the baby. But a five-year-old who might think it will be wonderful to go through a window the next year might say, heck no. This is something you got to keep doing, isn't it?
Definitely. Talk to them maybe once a year or if not more. Make sure that you have at least two ways to get out of your home in case one of those ways, when maybe a back door or something like that, is blocked by the fire. Make sure that your kids know where the exits are.
When I was a little kid, I remember that we had some Red Cross training in the classroom, and they talked about feeling the door for heat and crawling and all of that stuff. What do you say now?
It's all still valid. We still teach the same thing. So we've got a program called the Pillowcase Project that we teach in local elementary schools, and we target kids in third through fifth grades. And we teach them all about disaster preparedness, and especially about home fire preparedness, because home fires are the number one disaster that the American Red Cross responds to. As an organization, we respond to about 62,000 disasters a year. I would say 60 to 61,000 are probably home fires. That's really what we respond to almost on a daily basis, and really several times a day. So we go into these classrooms and we present this program, and it's that life-saving information. So we get into where sleeping with your bedroom door closed. Let's keep that door closed, because if a fire starts somewhere outside of that room, it's going to help keep that fire out, and it's going to help keep that smoke out, and that child has a better chance of survival. So keeping that door closed, making sure those smoke alarms are working and tested at least a couple of times a year. And you know what? It really makes a big impression, this program, and they take this information home and they talk about it with the rest of their family. So we target these third through fifth graders, we make this impression, and then they go home and it starts that conversation with mom, dad, maybe grandma, grandpa, younger or older brothers and sisters, and we really see it kind of take on a life of its own. It's a really cool project.
Now, why is it called the Pillowcase Project?
So it actually got its start back in Hurricane Katrina. So in 2005, we noticed that a lot of folks that were evacuating New Orleans ahead of Katrina, they were putting what they could carry into pillowcases. So that was kind of their disaster preparedness kit. They were taking their essential items and carrying them in pillowcases. So we partnered with Disney originally as part of this project, and Disney created all of these pillowcases for us, and we got the kids coloring the pillowcases. It really got them excited about talking about something that's not really too exciting, and that's disaster preparedness to, you know, someone who's 8, 9, or 10 years old.
And that's something that people can do with their kids, too, even if they don't have Pedro Pillowcase Project coming to their school. If you want to involve your child in the disaster preparedness process, you can help them, get them to help you build that disaster preparedness kit. Maybe put a toy in there that they like. Make sure that they're part of the process so that they really understand more what's happening. And if you do have maybe a tornado or a bad storm where you have to go to a shelter for a day, then they helped build that kit, and they have something that will comfort them if they do have to leave.
Now, we're talking, of course, a lot about getting out, and sometimes you don't have the chance to prepare, obviously. What about the car? If you have to jump out and run and get in your car and you have to leave like now, you know, the choice is go now.
Yeah. So it's we suggest you grab what you can, obviously, from the house. And if you have that kit and everything is in one place, it's kind of that one stop shop. So, you know, it's some food, water, and basic supplies. We suggest for at least 3 days for each family member. If you do have to leave quickly, it's essential to grab that medication, maybe some of those important documents. And then, as Sophie just mentioned, those special or comfort items for children and pets, you know, don't forget that blankie or that lovey, that stuffy that the kids have to have to be comfortable wherever you're going. So in your car, though, is now where, of course, we're in December. Winter weather is here, whether we're ready for it or whether we like it or not. I remember a storm last year where it took me, and I was not alone, it took me 8 hours to get home here from Center City, Philadelphia. And it was all because of the snow. And there were people stranded everywhere on the roads for hours and hours and hours. So it's important to have that kit in your home, in your car. So maybe a small shovel in the event that you get stuck. Have a couple extra bottles of water in the car. You have to check them every once in a while because, you know, it's cold out there. So they tend to freeze. But also have Maybe a couple of snacks. Carry it in your bag that you take in and out of work with you every day. Bring that extra water. Yeah, it throws a little extra weight in your bag, but better to have a snack and a bottle of water when you're stranded in your car for several hours than not. So always a good idea to have those supplies, not only at home, but also in your car in the event you're stranded by this lovely weather that we sometimes get around here.
I spent a night on Interstate 70 in Indiana. Oh, I wish I'd had a snack and some water and a blanket and a bathroom. But you know, you can't carry that with you. But now, what about when you are stuck in your car and in the snow? We were smart enough at least not to run the car because the snow kept coming up over the tailpipe. But that was something I wished I'd had a shovel for, just to dig the car out occasionally.
Right. So you want to make sure you're taking that shovel and you're digging around that tailpipe, you know. The shovel will come in handy if you get stuck, but it'll also come in handy with keeping the snow away from the car. We tend to recommend that you run the car about 10 to 15 minutes every hour to get that heat in the car, and then shut it off, because obviously you're in a situation where you want to conserve fuel as well. And also make sure you've got those car chargers with you. Keep that cell phone charged, because if the cell phone dies, then A, you're really going to be bored, but B, you're not going to have that lifeline to call in the event a life-threatening emergency does take place. So you want to make sure you've got that cell phone charger in the car as well.
And say you're on a long haul, you know, over the holidays, I know a lot of people like to drive to see family. Maybe it's a long trip. If you do have to pull over and it's dark, make sure that you leave the overhead dome light on, because that is one of the big ways that people get hit on the interstate. I'm sure we see it all the time in our own cars, but people who pull over to the side and then maybe they're not pulled over all the way, but then someone hits them and then it creates a backup. So just for your own safety and everybody's sake, when they're making those long trips over the holidays, keep a light on. Make sure that you can be seen if you do have to pull over.
And you know, I'm going to throw one in that I think I learned this in my very first Red Cross interview a couple of years ago. Full tank of gas.
That's another
keep
good
that
one.
Keep that sucker full. There's nothing worse than being the one when everybody has to leave. You're the one who is stopped on the road with an empty tank.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people like to make jokes when that winter storm is impending. It's, you know, is this, I need the bread, the milk, and the toilet paper. And, you know, but that's kind of, in a way, that's kind of making your little disaster preparedness kit for that winter storm at home. And the other item is the most crowded places before a snowstorm. It's the grocery store and the gas station. But it's good to see folks take things seriously and getting prepared, because that's your way of making that kit, making that plan that you've got the supplies to survive the storm. You've got that full tank of gas, and then you're listening to the radio or watching the TV to find out what's going to happen next. So that's part of what Sophie mentioned earlier. Get a kit, make a plan, be informed, and we see it every time there's a winter storm.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we are talking to the Red Cross today. And if you'd like more information, go to redcross.org. And here in this area, redcross.org/EasternPA. If you'd like to call them, 1-800-RED-CROSS. And if you'd like to make a donation, well, that's real easy. You can do it at redcross.org/EasternPA. You can also make an automatic donation of $10 just by texting one word, Red Cross, to 90999. And you'll make an automatic donation of $10. And today we're talking to the Regional Communications Director, Dave Skutnik, and to Sophie Cluthy. She is the Regional Communications Manager. I'm Laura Lewis, and you're listening to Our Delaware Valley. And you know what? One of those rechargeable radios, great thing to have. Putting in a plug for my industry. Great thing to have, one of those bad boys.
So. Absolutely. The NOAA weather radio, good thing to have. And also, yeah, that hand-cranked old-fashioned radio, because they still work no matter what.
I have one from the Red Cross. You sell a lot of these packages. You can purchase. It's not just free downloads of items that you should have, but a lot of disaster things that are good for homes and businesses are available for purchase through the Red Cross, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. On our website, redcross.org, you can go to our store, and you can buy the whole disaster preparedness kit in one piece. You can buy the hand-cranked and battery-operated radios. We have tons of disaster preparedness and emergency preparedness items on our website.
And, of course, lots of information. And so can a community reach out? Say I am a civic group, or I'm a teacher at a school, and I would like to get the Red Cross to come in and do pillowcase or talk about this. Do you do it?
Absolutely, yeah. We take requests, just like you in radio. We take requests, for sure. So, yeah, you can reach out to us directly on our website, redcross.org/EasternPA. Our phone number for our regional headquarters in Philadelphia is 215-299-4000. Again, that's 215-299-4000. And whether it's getting a pillowcase project presentation in your elementary school or having someone from our volunteer services department get you involved in some sort of volunteer engagement type opportunity. If you want to join us in a community event out installing free smoke alarms, we have businesses and community groups that join us all the time and help us go door to door to install those smoke alarms. And we have a big event that'll be coming up in the spring. You know, we're not even to Christmas yet, but we're already thinking spring and thinking warm weather. At the end of April and beginning of May, it's called our Sound the Alarm campaign, and it's a national campaign where over a two-week period, the Red Cross will be installing 100,000 free smoke alarms nationwide, including right here in the Delaware Valley. And we'll be having a number of events in southeastern Pennsylvania, South Jersey, and Delaware that'll go along with that campaign. And you can find out more there at redcross.org as well.
Now, at the beginning, I mentioned that I'm making more plans to give blood more often this year. Alana Mauger is going to be real happy to hear that. she comes in and does the spiel for blood all the time. You're looking for blood, and I want to talk about first aid and some other things as we wrap things up, because we're running out of time, believe it or not. Go for it.
So, you know, one of the big things, the holidays, obviously we're all busy, the hustle and bustle. Schools close down, the colleges are in between semesters, so we see a huge drop in the number of blood donations during the holidays. And by the time we get to January, we're almost frequently seeing a shortage of blood across the country, including here in the Philadelphia area. So we urge everyone, you know, give back here during the holidays, roll up a sleeve, take an hour of your time and visit a blood drive near you. You can find the schedule again on our website at redcross.org, or you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS to find a blood drive near you. You know, the Red Cross needs to collect about 13,000 blood donations every single day. That's 7 days a week, including Christmas Day, Thanksgiving Day, you know, you name the holiday. We still need to collect that blood because the need for that blood is constant. Every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs blood. So all the hospitals that we have here in the Delaware Valley are always needing that American Red Cross blood, and we have to keep those shelves stocked for those hospitals, and we need people's help at blood drives to do it.
And it's not just folks who have maybe had a horrific car accident or something like that, which those are included, but think about the children who are maybe spending the holidays in the hospital with cancer or a blood disorder, people who need surgeries. Those are all people that need blood and need it urgently. So making that gift, that donation, is really going to help someone's life. You can save up to 3 lives with just 1 blood donation. If you download the Red Cross Blood app, it even tells you where your blood has gone. So that's really cool. And speaking of the app, you can also go on the website, redcross.org. We found a way to speed it up, make it even easier for people to go online and make an appointment. Redcross.org, you can make your blood or platelet donation appointment. And on the app, you can fill out something called Rapid Pass, which is you fill out all the information, all the questions that they ask you, fill that out ahead of time to cut down on your wait time. And the actual blood donation only takes about 10 minutes. So it's really, really not a lot of your time. And if we're thinking about the end of the year, maybe the new year, you want a new year resolution, this is a really great one. Make that appointment for December, January, and as often as you can. And you'll really be saving a lot of lives in the area.
I think it only took me 28 minutes because I used Rapid Pass. It
was great.
I loved it. And I got the text later saying that my blood had gone to some hospital. And I'm rambling now. Let's talk some more about first aid and the difference between adults and kids and when and who should be taking first aid classes, because we really are running out of time.
Everybody should take first aid classes because you never know who's going to have an emergency. And everyone who's trained, that means that everyone around them is more safe because they're going to be able to be helped by someone who knows. And you're right, there's first aid, CPR, but there's also pediatric. If you're maybe a new grandmother and you have a new grandbaby you'll be watching, or you're a babysitter, you work at a casino, you run a daycare center, a lot of reasons to get trained in first aid, pediatric first aid. But those are all classes you can go on to redcross.org or redcross.org/take-a-class. Pop in your zip code and all of the classes that are available will come up. So you can take the class that's more convenient for you. You can sign up ahead of time. And there's really a range of courses. People ask a lot about the babysitting courses. And with probably the age range of people who are babysitting these days, a lot of those are offered online, which is really convenient.
And grandparents, that's the one that every grandparent should take. And actually, any parent should take as well. How often should you take the class?
We recommend a refresher every 2 years. Sometimes the science and the medical technology change a little bit. So we recommend a refresher every 2 years. So that's the CPR, AED, and a basic first aid class about every 2 years. And that kind of keeps it fresh in your mind and the latest, because actually there have been some changes recently in CPR. So there's a new program that's started called Hands-Only CPR. So what doctors and medical professionals have found is some people are a little hesitant to jump in an emergency because that whole mouth-to-mouth resuscitation part. And they're like, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. Well, doing something is always better than doing nothing. So even if you can take a quick class and just learn the chest compressions part, that can make a difference. Just a few minutes of chest compressions can help keep that person alive until medical professionals arrive. So that's a new program that the Red Cross and some other organizations have started to teach as well. So there's always changes and updates and things. So that's why bottom line is we recommend every 2 years.
Do you teach basic first aid as well? You know, like the old Boy Scout handbook?
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was just about to say the same thing. You know, we teach that kind of that wilderness first aid. You don't have, tear off a shirt sleeve and make a sling out of it kind of thing. Yeah, we teach all that stuff in our first aid classes because, you know, you never know, as Sophie mentioned a couple of minutes ago, you never know when or where an emergency is going to happen. So knowing what to do and finding those things that may just be in the room or in the woods around you to use in an emergency is part of what's taught in those classes.
We even have a cat and dog first aid online course and app for pet owners. Don't want to leave out any dog moms or cat moms out there. So we really have everything, whatever you're wanting to learn, and we would encourage that you learn all of it. And think about, where do we spend a lot of our time? At work, right? So we even have programs where we can have people come in and train your whole office on first aid. If you're choking or if you're having a heart attack or something, you know, look around you. Who's going to be able to help you? But if your office is trained, you know that everybody is going to be able to jump in.
That's wonderful. And of course, all of this does take cash. And it takes, you're one of the few organizations, I was joking before the show began, that not only takes our time and our money, but you want our blood.
We do. There are many different ways to support the American Red Cross. And there's a lot that the American Red Cross, as we've talked about over the last half hour or so, does to support our communities. But we can't do it without people's help. We have almost 3,000 volunteers just in southeastern Pennsylvania alone right now who support the work of the Red Cross, and we're very thankful for their time, especially here as we go through the holiday season. We also can't do it without financial support. You know, we're on the scene of home fires, of folks who have lost everything, and we're giving them financial support to get a hotel room that night, to get some new clothes, to get some food, a hot meal. All of that does take cash, and so we are appreciative for every financial contribution that's made. And folks tend to be a little extra generous around the holidays, and also you can get in those end-of-year donations before tax time is here. Of course, the tax year ends on December 31st, so those benefits that the federal government is nice enough to give those tax breaks as well. So we welcome those kind of donations too. And of course, yes, we encourage you to roll up a sleeve, find a blood drive near you, because the life-saving blood is needed every single day.
And of course, you find out information about everything that we talked about today, no matter where you are, at redcross.org. And here, redcross.org/EasternPA. You can make an easy $10 donation just by texting one word, Red Cross, to 90999. And of course, you can always call them too at 1-800-RED-CROSS. But redcross.org, the place to go. You can make a donation. You can find out about blood drives. You can download that wonderful RapidPass app and get that information. information about how to keep your family safe, from the list of what to put in your kit or the tools you can purchase from the Red Cross. It's all there, redcross.org. Thank you both for coming in. Today, my guests have been Sophie Cluthie. She is the Regional Communications Manager and Regional Communications Director, David Skutnik. Thank you both for coming.
Thank you.
We'll see you in the new year. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.